All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, July 19th of 2024. Looking ahead here, MLB is back today, second half of the season starting up today. All-Star break is over, so we have a big 11-game MLB slate. I'm sure plenty of you are happy to have MLB back. Hope you guys enjoyed the couple days off here. And we also have the golf cut for the Open here. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do this show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So I will be right back here tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern for our next show. But plenty to talk about today. Let's get the app pulled up. Have a few questions that came in the Discord. See one already in the YouTube chat. So it should be plenty of questions to keep us busy as we get started here. But if you do have questions, now is always a good time to get those in the queue, and we'll get to all the questions before the end of the show. So first question here from Sammy. And Sammy said, "Hola, Andrew, what is the best approach of playing the free DK contests on with or without contest simulations? Is it better to use another single entry contest to pair with the free contest to use in correlation with the sim, since I usually tend to get minus 100% back sim ROIs no matter the adjustments I've made? Thanks." Okay, so the reason that you're getting the, you know, 0% sim ROI or the negative 100 is because of the contest size when you do those free contests. It's not like in the list here, but basically what the contest size ends up being is like, you know, 999,999, and the size of the contest is like way, way, way bigger than the player pool, and it just gets funky. But that's because, you know, it's basically DraftKings is saying the contest has an unlimited amount of entrants, which it does, but that's not however many people actually end up playing it, right? So what I would do is I would probably just pick a single entry that's rather close to it. So, you know, if you're looking at it, it's like 2,000 to 3,000 entries, something like that, you know, go and pick a $5, you know, Chin Music. If it is, you know, even like a little bit smaller, you could pick something different, like the $1 12 Mac, the $12 single entry, the base hit here. So that's really what it comes down to, is just those contest dynamics. You could also create your own, right? If you are looking at that contest and you're like, okay, you know, it's going to be like close to, let's say, 2,500 people, right? Okay, it's going to be close to 2,500 people. The prize pool is 10,000. So that means, and they're doing 1,000 to first. So that means percent to first is 10%. And they're paying out this many positions and there's this many people in the contest. So honestly, a custom contest sim will probably be the best option here, thinking through this problem. So that's what I would be doing. If you wanted to do a contest sim for that contest specifically, just go in and manually create it, estimate a little bit, and you should be okay. All right. Next question from Kuba. Question says, "Hi, Andrew, should I still be using the self sim on the normal app or continue to use the beta?" I think both are fine for now. You know, the beta has an update to contest sim that we haven't pushed to the production app yet. The team is still, you know, working through it and making sure that everything checks out before we do so. So that update will be coming to the normal app very, very soon here. But for now, I think that, you know, you could either self-sim on the normal app, you could use the new ROI on the beta app, whichever one you prefer. But both of them are fairly in sync. I think just that one change is the only thing that remains the biggest outlier between beta and the regular production app at the moment, and those should be syncing up rather soon. All right, next question here from Jimmy. And question says, if I wanted to use projections from another site as well as projections from SaberSim for contest sims, is there a way to do that? So there is a way to do that for the pre-contest sim. So basically, if you are using custom projections, you know, your source projections are different than, you know, SaberSim's, right? Like, I'm just making a couple adjustments here on the screen. If say you have a contest sim, right? When you run your contest sim, your custom projections are going to be taken into account in the contest sim, in the pre-contest. Now, so that means, you know, if you're aggregating or if you're just using another source or whatever you're doing, you know, the builder is using your custom projections in the pre-contest sim. However, it is not using it in the post-contest sim. So right now, there is not a way to use custom projections with the post-contest sim. So you could be running your pre-contest sim with one set of projections, but the post-contest sim is always going to use the SaberSim projections, at least the way that it's set up at the moment. We know people are using custom projections, and, you know, we're talking about ways to support that in the post-contest sim. It just wasn't something that we initially did when we released it. So always looking at ways to innovate and update the app, but just understand that distinction here at the moment, because, you know, if you're building lineups and you're grading out really well pre-contest, and then you go and look at contest flashback, like, hey, you know, I'm not grading out the best. I wonder why that is. Well, it's probably because, you know, you're being graded by two different projection sets every in one format in the pre-contest and then a different format in the post-contest. So just wanted to make that clear so you're not super confused about the information that you're seeing at the end of the day. All right, jumping over to the YouTube chat. Question here from Tim. And Tim said, in MLB, is it recommended to max out all contests below a $3 buy-in on the main slate before entering smaller contests and then showdown contests? Or is it better to spread out entries among all of those different slates, even if not maxing out all contests below a $3 buy-in in any one slate? This is a hard question, right? And, you know, I think that there might not be a right answer, because, you know, some of this comes down to like time management. Like, hey, can you manage playing? You know, let's go and see. Like, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 slates today just on DraftKings alone, right? And then you go over to FanDuel. You know, FanDuel has another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 slates. And then, you know, you go look at Yahoo and Owner's Box, they just have main slates. Like, you know, you could be playing up to 19 different slates today, but that's not realistic for everybody, right? So it's like, for some people, you know, they can do that and they can spread it out and they can get all that action down. And that's great. You know what I mean? Some people, you know, they're a little bit more time constrained, work, family, things like that. DFS is more like a hobby. They're not trying to, you know, grind out a major profit like that. And, you know, sometimes for them, it's like, hey, I have enough bankroll to, or there are enough available contests on a single main slate that support my bankroll. I'm just going to play the one slate and make my life easy, right? So like, that is kind of like a personal decision. Like, hey, can I do this? Can I not? As far as, you know, what you should do if you have the opportunity to do either, sometimes it's hard. And the reason for that is because, like, you could go into like a past slate, right? And I could go, you know, to July 14th, go to the main slate. It's like the last MLB main slate. And then I could go and look at the 50 cent minimax, right? There was, this one's kind of big. It's kind of good. Usually they run like 2 50-cent mini maxes, both like 23K, but appears like they have this like one bigger one, which actually it's because they ran a one. Oh yeah. Yeah. They run the 50 cent and then the $1. Right. So if I come in here and look at sim ROIs from the 50 cent And I'm just going to look at people who maxed it. Highest MRI is about 14-15%. Okay. Now let's go do the same thing for this $1 where the contest size is a lot smaller. It's going to take a lot less people to max this out, right? Like less than 100 people to max this. Sim ROI is about the same, right? But it quickly goes to zero. Like there are 9 players who maxed it who are positive Sim ROI. And I would have to say there's probably twice as many people who maxed it that are negative Sim ROI, right? And that's interesting, right? To me, the question is like, where are your dollars best spent? And something that I've experimented with in the past, and I don't have like a mathematical basis for doing this exactly. I'll just kind of explain it, is that I've experimented with putting in basically making my entry fees match 10th place as far as payment goes. And the reason I thought of that is that, you know, there's been like a lot of talk like in the DFS world about like how high variance is at like the top of a contest. Because when you get to the top of a contest, you know, you're talking about like very, very minute differences here. So let's say that, you know, you're playing this 47,000 man contest, right? So then that means that 47,000 to get in the top 1% of the contest, that means you're in 470th or better. Okay. Well, then let's say that, you know, you want to get in the top, not top 1%, but the top 0.01%, right? So then it'd be 47,000 times 0.001, right? And this would be the top, the 0.1% of the contest. Okay, still 47th. You're still not winning. You're still not making that much money, right? So, okay, so rather than 0.01%, we need to be in the top 0.001%, right? So it's 47,000 divided by or times 0.0001 now, right? And now this is fifth place. Again, you are still not winning the contest. But what is the difference between, you know, 0.0001 and 0.00015, right? Like as far as the percentage goes, that's incredibly, incredibly small, right? But let's do that, right? 47,000 times 0.00015. And that gets you to seventh, right? So then the opposite is true from like going from fifth to like second, right? We'd be like 47,000 times 0.00005. And that would get you like basically to second. So we are talking about like think about this, you know, 99%, like point. We're talking about like 99.995 versus 99% point like 993 or something like that. And like that is like how far into the percentage you are when you're figuring out in this big contest if you are going to get fifth place versus seventh place. Like think about that. You know, we're talking about like, you know, 995th percentile, like whatever, however small that number is. So like, you know, there is a lot of variance between getting second, getting fifth, getting seventh place, wherever you land in there. Like if you're tracking even, you know, your 0.1% are 0.1% finishes and like Roto Tracker, you know, like this number is way, way, way smaller than So due to that variance, you know, something that I've tried is like, okay, hey, well, maybe I'm just going to look at the payout structure and, you know, whatever 10th place is, that's the max entry fees I'll go. So it's like, sometimes they run these contests, right, where it's, you know, 50 cent, 150 max, but maybe 10th place pays $30. Well, in that case, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm only going to enter, you know, 60 lineups and I'm going to be fine with my 60 lineups, right? I'm like, hey, you know, 10th place is $30. I'll do 60 lineups and I'll use the rest of my money for my bankroll in another contest, right? There's really nothing that says you have to max out a contest. In theory, what you should be doing is you're entering your absolute best lineup first, and then your second best, and then your third best, and then your fourth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all you are doing is stopping from entering, you know, if I enter 30 lineups, I pays $30, so I put 60 lineups. So all I'm doing is stopping from entering my 61st best lineup through my 150th best lineup. So I'm totally comfortable with that, right? My best lineups are still in the contest and I'm still getting, you know, action on those lineups. So that's the way that I like to think about it sometimes. And then I will basically put that in all of the main slate contests. And then with whatever, you know, more bankroll I have left, either go play, you know, turbos, night slates, express, play, you know, on other sites and divide it up that way. But I think that's a good way to do it. And, you know, going back to where we started, you got to figure out, can you manage all of these different slates? Is 19 too many? Maybe you just leave out the showdowns, right? Maybe you just play all the classic slates and that makes it a little bit more manageable. Maybe you like the showdowns. Maybe you prioritize those over the classics. So a lot of that is kind of preference and what works for you, and what works for you might not work for someone else. So you got to figure out what the right answer is for you. But that is my advice as far as how I would go about thinking about answering that question for myself. So good question. Solid question there. All right. Looks like no more questions here at the moment. Let's jump over to today's slate and let's run some lineups. See how we're looking. So jumping over to today's main slate. Looks like lineups are already starting to trickle in here. And I've made some minor adjustments to projections when I was just clicking around earlier. And what I'm going to do is come in here. It looks like we adjusted our minimum salary. Interesting. So it looks like the default minimum salary is 49,000 now. I think it was 48 prior. And team must have bumped this up because I think that was something that we would talk about here from time to time. But let's say we're playing this, you know, 150 max. Let's say we're playing the $1, right? We're playing that $1 contest here. I'm somebody who likes to use this don't use batters against opposing pitchers rule. I think it's, you know, generally good. So I'm going to kick off this build and then I'm going to jump over and then go and create my contest sim for, oh, the $1 was the other day. Okay. So let's say we're doing the $3, right? I'm doing this $3. One thing with the $3 is that the prize pool is big enough for everyone in the lobby to have access to it. So I like to come in here and change the field lineup source to the flagship MME. So just one note there. Is that basically everyone who can play the $18 can also play the $3 because the prize pool is big enough. But our defaults are that $3 and below is low stakes MME. So just for this one contest, I would come in here and change my field lineup source. So I'm going to create the contest sim twice. That way I can change it and use the self sim format once these lineups finish here. And I'm going to go into my contest sim settings. Get that all set up. All right. I'm going to rename this just so I know that it's my self sim. So it's going to put self. And then I'm going to go into my field lineup dropdown, close the Saber Sim ownership dropdown, and select build 3, which is the build that I'm in here. So then now I know that I have my contest sim against the field. I have the contest sim against myself. And I'm all set. So I'm going to click run. All right. So while the contest sim runs here, I'm going to move some columns around. And as soon as this finishes, we can keep the demo rolling here. All right, just about done. And changed my lineups to 150. All right, so our self sim is done and our other contest sim is done. So first thing I want to do is just go and change my sorting metric. I like to use the self sim risk adjusted ROI. And once that is done, just kind of sort by exposure, make things easy to see here. And I'm going to go and filter right away, right? I want to go in and filter. This is kind of like still on along the lines of right to left approach. We're just moving further and further to the right here, where we're going to go into our filters and we're going to set a filter for ROI greater than zero for both contest sims here. So did it for one. And doing it for the other now. I'm going to add a step here. Something I talked about yesterday, and I really like this, is adding an aggregate metric to show the average projection of the lineup set that you're viewing here, just for detail purposes, right? So I have, you know, my aggregate metric here showing that my average projection is about 93 points here. That's great. So then now I want to start increasing my mini uniques here just right out of the gate and get some diversification in my lineups. So it's actually super interesting. So my average projection was about 93.05, and adding min uniques to 5, increasing it from 1 to 5, actually increased my average projection to 93.4. So it went up about 0.4 here, which is so strange. I did not expect that to happen at all. But so far, so good. You know, after we filtered, we were left with about 1,000 lineups in our pool. Where our last lineup and our set of 150 is lineup 416 at the moment with a 16% sim ROI. So all looks good there. I'm interested if I can go up one more and what that does to my lineup set. Average projection still looks really, really strong. And sim ROI is still above neutral. And this is about as far as we can go. We're already down at lineup 903. So at this point, you know, I would say that this is a super, you could do it either way. Like, I think mini uniques of 6 is fine with the last lineup still being positive sim ROI. Average projection still looks good. You know, these leverages are just a lot flatter. So if you want to use 6, great. If you wanted to stay at 5 where we were before, I think that's okay too. You know, projection didn't change much at all. You're a little bit more concentrated, but not too much. You have 191 players in your player pool. When we were on 6 mini uniques, we had 204, so 13 player difference as far as who's being used here. But I think these are great. I would use either one of these, and I have no problem if you were like, hey, I would rather use 5 rather than 6, like no problem. Or like, hey, I would rather use 6. I think it's super cool how flat you can get and still have, you know, strong lineups according to the self sim. So either one of those is fine with me. I'm going to stay on 5 for the sake of the example here and then just go and check some things, make sure everything looks good. So like our top 3 stack types are matching the pool and my lineups are almost very, very similar as far as exposure goes. Happy with that. No team stacked more than 22%. Super flat here. All looks good. And then our highest owned pitcher looks to be Mr. Garrett Cole. And pretty close to his pool exposure. You know, I think the leverage is fairly minimal here, right? 28% owned. He's in 40% of our lineup. So we have about like 1.5x his ownership, just a little bit less than that. And that seems fine. A little bit of leverage on Griffin Canning, about 2x his ownership. So these leverages are pretty small, pretty flat. We're taking a few stands, not a ton, and we're getting super spread out. So if I were building lineups for today, I would be happy with mini unique 6 option or mini unique 5 option. I think both are good. All right. Solid lineup building there. Pretty happy with that. Looks like we have one question here from Kuba in the Discord. Let's get that in the chat. All right. Question says, In a contest review, the top five winners had an average salary of $49,654. Should I use the max salary of $49,600 or $49,700? I would say what I would rather, you know, you got to be careful with some of this research. Just because their average salary is one number, that doesn't mean every lineup was that number. So like what I would rather do is, and you know, like I would show you how I would do this. Like you're basically trying to figure out like, hey, kind of what are your bands that you want to stay in, right? And this is why those calculator metrics are so good, is because it allows you to kind of see that, right? Like the same way I did an average projection, you could do an average salary, right? But what I would do is I would come into, you know, say the mini max, right? We'll look at the $3. And I forget what contest you said. You just said in a contest review. So I'm not sure which one, but we'll just use this one as an example. So let's say I come into users. I look at 150 maxers. I look at sim ROI. So let's say, you know, I'm going to look at the top, you know, a couple guys here, right? 49.7, 49.7, 49.6, 49.6, 49.6. Now, this does not mean that every single lineup is that exact salary. This is just the average, right? So what I would rather do is, hey, I'm going to look at this specific player's lineup set by using the plus icon. It's going to single out their 150 lineups. And then I want to come in here and I want to sort by salary. And I want to say, what is the lowest salary lineup they used? And that will be with the arrow pointing up here. Should be with the arrow pointing up. And just might take a minute for this to like query the information. Okay. So the lowest salary lineup this person used was 48.8. And then the highest salary that they use, I'm assuming, is 50,000, which they probably have, you know, lineups that max it out. So see, like, rather than just looking at like the average salary, look at what these players' ranges are. And maybe, you know, you could actually get like some more actionable information from that. We did an example, I think, like before last week's golf slate, where we looked at something like that, and it was like, hey, you know, the top three players, well, one of them used no more than like 49 or no less than like 49.5. One of them was okay going down to 48.5. One of them used like 49.7 and above. So, you know, there were top players. We were looking at like the flagship or something, where, you know, top players were approaching it very, very different. Some of them were okay playing less salary lineups. Some of them were wanting to play more salary lineups. And you could see pros attacking this contest from all different directions and still grading out well and with the sim ROIs, right? So rather than just looking at the average salary number and coming to a conclusion, you know, go and look at this person's entire lineup set, see what their ranges are, and do that, you know, for the five players you mentioned, and try and get some information from that and be like, hey, you know, this is what I'm seeing across the board here. And maybe you find more actionable info from that. So that's what I would rather do. But all right. Good question there. Looks like we are caught up in the Discord and the YouTube chat. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.